The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. Wanted to read to you from Psalm 106. It says this, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord, or can show forth all His praise? How blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, in your favor toward your people. Visit me with your salvation, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance." I love that when it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. It was some years ago, I was reading in 2 Chronicles, the dedication of the temple. And I was in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And this verse just jumped off the page, and it was so life-changing. It says, "Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And all the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying," this is what God really spoke to my heart about, "this is what they said, truly He is good, truly His loving kindness is everlasting." I have stated for a long, long time, especially since the Lord dropped that into my heart, that is so key, that we understand that God is good. Things that happen to you, so many of them not good. Things that happen in our world, so much of it not good. But God is good, and God really does love you. His loving kindness is everlasting. You've heard me say three things every Christian needs to have etched in his or her heart. Number one, God is good. Number two, God loves me. And number three, God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. And when you have those three things down, God is good, God loves me, God is going to work this together for my good and His glory, you can handle any situation in life. Well, big news that we want to talk about today. We want to talk about several things today, just to give you a heads up. We're going to talk a little bit about Nicolas Maduro and the activity over the weekend, and what Donald Trump and his administration did and our great military did in extracting Maduro and his wife. To bring them to the United States, to bring them to face charges and face justice. We want to talk about that. We want to talk about what you heard at the top of the hour, Tim Walz dropping out of the race for Minnesota governor. He blames Trump for that. But as Nick Shirley said, Nick Shirley is the YouTuber that broke the video on all this fraud in Minnesota, all these fake daycares. The guy became famous, and that was shared millions and millions of times. He tweeted out, "I broke Tim Walz," because Tim Walz had to bow out. So we're going to talk about Venezuela. We're going to talk about Tim Walz. And then we want to talk about James chapter 1, about being doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So let's talk about Nicolas Maduro. There's a guy on social media. He's a Harvard-educated philosopher and political commentator. His name is, I've played his clips before, his name is Kaizen, K-A-I-Z-E-N, Asiedu, A-S-I-E-D-U. He's from Ghana. He is extremely articulate and very very well-reasoned and very thoughtful in his comments. I like listening to him, and I ran across this clip from him, and he's putting things into perspective. You know, the Donald Trump haters, whatever Trump does, they hate it. You know, somebody pulled up a clip from Joe Biden where he was talking about how terrible a guy Maduro was and how he needed to be removed from power. And this was from 2018 or 2019. Anyway, he was talking about this for a long time. And then Trump does what Joe Biden was saying. This was when he was a lot more lucid. Joe Biden was saying years ago needed to be done. Trump did it. And what's the attitude of the left? Well, how dare he? He can't do that. Well, here is Kaizen putting it into perspective, because you hear, oh, it's all about oil. It's all about Trump trying to enrich his buddies. You know, that's just the typical, you know, song and dance that we hear from the left. You know, they talk about Trump being greedy, and Trump, it's all about money. It's all about enriching his cronies. Trump doesn't, he's the only president I know of that doesn't take a salary. He's the only guy I know of that in his first term, he lost a significant chunk of his net worth. He doesn't appear to be doing this for the money. He's a multi-billionaire. He doesn't need money. You're not going to sway him with money. It's kind of like Elon Musk. You know, I'm going to bribe Elon Musk. Well, how's that going to work? The guy's worth hundreds of billions of dollars. You're not going to entice him with money. And I see Trump the same way. I think Trump does what he does for the good of America. That's one of his motivations. For his own glory, that's probably another one of his motivations. But I don't think it's for money. And anyway, this is Kaizen's comments on Maduro and the whole situation with Venezuela. Let me see if I can get it to play.
We didn't really invade Venezuela because of drug trafficking. This isn't really just about oil. It's about China, which deployed a spy ship off the coast of Venezuela in August to monitor our military. It's about Russia, which landed planes that can carry nukes to America at least three times in Venezuela. It's about the fact that Maduro wasn't even the democratically elected leader of Venezuela and was giving our biggest rivals the ability to hurt America in our own backyard. This is about power. And in case you haven't noticed, we've been losing it to China. Trump isn't the first president to make a power play for America. He's just the first to be honest about it. Maduro is an ally of China and Russia. Venezuela's military equipment mostly comes from China and Russia. Russia was building a weapons factory in Venezuela. Russian military contractors were Maduro's personal bodyguards. China has poured over $100 billion into Venezuela. Today, most of Venezuela's oil goes straight to China. Just hours before we captured him, Maduro was meeting with China's special envoy. Venezuela has 17% of oil reserves in the world. Do you want that controlled by China? Some people are saying it's immoral to interfere with Venezuela's affairs like we are. But guess what? China and Russia already were. And maybe you think it's immoral for us to get involved, even though they are. But morality is a convenience that only the powerful can afford. Morality is a local language. Power is a universal language. Our adversaries don't care about our morality. They care about winning. So we need to speak in a language they understand. And what Trump did, translated into the language of power, is say, don't mess with America in our backyard. Here's the harsh truth. The powerful get to choose the moral code. Morals are a standard. Power is how you enforce it. China has been getting more powerful while we've been arguing over pronouns. If we don't get it together, China will be the prime power. Whose moral code would you like to live under? America's or theirs? Well, when America wins, we still get to criticize our government. Try that in Beijing.
So that was Kazen Asidu, and he says this is a lot more than about drugs, although drugs are part of it. It's a lot more than just oil. And what Marco Rubio said, we don't need their oil. We have plenty of oil. But you know who needs their oil? China. So I believe, listening to different pundits and commentators last night and this morning, especially Glenn Beck, he makes a great point. He said Trump is employing strategy, and the military leaders in America employing strategy to keep that oil away from China, to keep Venezuela from being a base of operations for people who hate us and want to hurt us, China, Russia, Iran. And so I was thinking about this morning. Some of you, no doubt, listening out there, you like to play Scrabble. And you know, we used to play it on a board. Now we play Words with Friends, which is the online Scrabble. And you can play with people all over the place. I like to play Words with Friends. And there's a lady. I'm a pretty decent Scrabble player, I like to think. But there's some lady, I don't know where she lives. You know, she just goes by the initials JLP or something like that. But I play her a lot because she is a really, really good player. She beats me more than I beat her. And so she is really tough. You feel good when you get a win off of this lady. And I don't know if she's cheating. Who knows? You don't know if the other person's cheating or not. But some of the words she comes up with is like, good night. You didn't even have a vowel in that word. How is that a word? Anyway, when I play her, I know that it's not just about the word that I play. It's about what I leave her. Because if I play a 40-point word but leaves her a triple word score somewhere, and she turns around in her play, she scores an 80-point word because I set her up, I'm minus 40 points. My 40-point word didn't mean squat. It was a bad play. And so you have to be strategic. Well, in military operations, you have to be strategic. You know, you read in the Old Testament, David would pray, Lord, do I go up against this enemy? You know, are you going to deliver them into my hand? And God would say, yes, go up. And he would give them, oftentimes in battle, he would tell them, this is how you do it. Go up against Ai. This is how you fight Ai. This is how you fight Jericho. And it would take faith. And you'd believe God. But there was strategy involved. And so to do what we did in Venezuela is to protect America. It's America first. And as Kazen Asidu said, do you want to run under American morality or under Chinese morality? Because if China wins, you lose, I lose, we lose. We need to keep them at a safe distance because that it would not be good for our future and the future of our children and our grandchildren. And so we ought to support Donald Trump in that action and see it from a broader perspective. Yes, you know, when the police come in and do what they need to do and take out a terrorist, take out somebody that's a drug trafficker or a sex trafficker, people may get hurt in the process, but you have to do that because what is the role of government? Romans 13 makes it clear. It is to punish evil doers. And so you can argue and argue and argue about, did Trump have the legal authority to do what he did? Maybe so. Constitutional authority, maybe so, maybe not. People can argue about that. But what he did was a good thing to protect America. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Tim Walz and then get into the subject of being an effectual doer of the word of God. It's important to grow, as Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't just grow in knowledge, although it's important. We grow in grace, and we put God's word into practice in our lives. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. As we said at the top of the hour, Tim Walz said that he is no longer seeking re-election to be a third-term governor of the state of Minnesota. It's surprising because in this day and age in politics, things that used to knock people out of a race don't seem to apply anymore. So, for example, Jay Jones ran for Attorney General of Virginia. He was just elected into that position in November, and it was uncovered that this guy had texted about killing State House Speaker Todd Gilbert and his children. Just horrific things. And they still elected him. He didn't drop out of the race. When Winsome Sears was debating her competitor, her rival there, Winsome Sears was the Republican nominee for governor, and she was going up against Abigail Spanberger. In the debate, she said, "Abigail, will you condemn this?" And she said, "Well, you know, she condemned the language, but she wouldn't withdraw her support of Jay Jones." And he ended up winning, and so did Abigail Spanberger in Virginia. Well, those would be things that would, I mean, years ago, that would knock you out completely. You couldn't survive that if you had that kind of a blot on your record. And so Tim Walz, his situation is dire to bow out, as I heard a clip from one pundit and said, this is obviously the end of his political career. This is the guy that just a few, you know, in 2024, he was the Democratic nominee along with Kamala Harris for the president, vice president. He was the vice presidential candidate. He's got a dumpster fire in his state of fraud, up to, as some are saying, $9 billion. And it's daycare fraud, it's feed the children fraud, it's all this stuff. And Nick Shirley, a YouTuber, a young guy in his 20s, exposed so much of it in an afternoon or two, as he just went to these daycare places. They're all scams. No children. He would interview people. Yeah, I've not ever seen a child there in years, and yet they're getting millions and millions of dollars. Well, you can say, all right, well, is he to blame? He said, well, it's on my watch, so I'm going to fix it. Well, good night. You're going to fix it. It's increased in scope under your watch. You're not fixing anything. So with Tim Walz, you got to say either you're corrupt or you're inept or you're grossly negligent, or you're a combination of all those, but this is so bad that even a guy where the system is rigged towards supporting him, all the media wants to support him. CNN went out and did what they could to discredit Nick Shirley and to make him look better. Tim Walz said, "Well, it's all exaggerated," and not that it's not a big issue. He didn't try and just sweep it under the rug like it's no big deal. But it was just, "Well, this is exaggerated. I'll take care of it. I'll fix it. It's on my watch. I'll fix it." He's bleeding out too fast. He cannot. He can't withstand this, and so he had to drop out of the race. And what does he do? As you heard the clip, he drops out of the race and blames Trump, blames Republicans. He's the one to blame, and so he needs to take responsibility for that. And there needs to be justice. I was listening to Laura Ingraham, and she was saying, hey, if people don't get arrested and heads don't roll and this doesn't go back up the chain to people that were overseeing this money, all these millions and millions and billions of dollars that are going out the door to fraudulent businesses, if people don't pay the price for that, well, it's just going to continue, and we're totally lost as a nation, because there has to be a consequence to those actions. Romans chapter 13, what does government do? It doesn't bear the sword in vain. It is there to punish evildoers. And I was listening to one commentator say that they busted some guy for fraud, and it was obvious he was lying and defrauding the government, I think $1 million or $2 million, and he got 6 months in a house arrest for that. And it's like, good grief, you stole that much money from the government, you get 6 months of house arrest? And this was a fraudster that got shut down on his daycare. And the next day he opened another one, got shut down because of all these violations. And then the next day he opens up another one at the same location and they give him money. It's just sickening. And so, the praise in all of this is that under the Trump administration, started with DOGE exposing a lot of the waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption, and now we're starting to see it on the state level, and all those states need to have an audit. They need to find out where the money is going, and they need to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law those who are stealing, because it is a great crime to steal. And, we kind of look at the government as like, well, you're not really stealing from anyone. You're just kind of stealing from this faceless entity. Well, that's your money. That's my money. That's our money. That's money that was given, taken in taxes, but it's supposed to be used for productive things, not just to be stolen and wasted. And so if that doesn't make you mad, we did a whole program on righteous indignation. It should make you mad, because that is wrong. Okay, let's shift gears. James chapter 1. James says this, beginning in verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Hey, I want to ask you, how are you doing in doing the Word of God? Are you an effectual doer? When you have a quiet time and you read the Word of God and you interact with it, hopefully you interact with it and you say, well, Lord, is this me? You know, I always think of Psalm 139 where David says at the last of Psalm 139 verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful, evil way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, we talk about prayer and the ministry of the word, Acts chapter 6, when the apostles told the people, hey, you need to select men of good reputation, men full of the Spirit and of wisdom to oversee the serving of the tables. And we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer and the word, those two things are critical in your spiritual growth. And as we read the word, and as we grow in knowledge, we're also to grow in grace. And we're to take the Word of God and put it into practice. See, what is faith? Faith is believing God, and it's believing God enough to do what He says. Faith is taking God at His Word. Jesus said to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, "Roll away the stone." And she didn't want to do it. She said, Lord, he stinks. It's been 4 days. And no doubt might have been going through her mind, you know, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She actually said that to him. So did Mary. But when Jesus said, roll away the stone, she could have thought to herself, well, do you want to see him one last time because you missed the funeral? And you know, do you feel bad, Jesus, that you missed it? And she didn't want to. She said, Lord, he stinks at this time. And he said, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? What does believing look like? Well, when you really believe the Lord, you roll away the stone. Belief always has legs on it. It always acts. Faith acts. Abraham believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness. What did Abraham do? He left Ur of the Chaldees when the Lord called to him. Say, Abraham, leave where you are and go to the land where I will show you. And he got up and left. He is a guy in his 70s when the Lord calls him. It's a big deal to uproot when you're in your 70s, you're established in the land, and you're going to go to a place. You don't even know where you're going, but he did, and that is faith. Faith always has legs on it. Faith always acts. Faith believes God enough to do what he says. So the question is, are you a forgetful hearer or an effectual doer? I was talking to a friend just yesterday, and he was mentioning to me about someone he knows that studies and studies and studies, but you can't tell because their personality is just so prickly. And there's not this, the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus is not on this person's life. And yet they're taking in so much information, so much good information, so much biblical information, but it's not translating into doing what you have heard, doing what the word says. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 17, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. The blessing doesn't come from the knowing, although the knowing is important. You can't do what you don't know. But if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. What does it say? James 1:25, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of freedom, and abides by it, you're going to do what it says, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. I shared with the church on Sunday, you know, you can study and study and study about giving, but the blessing that comes with giving doesn't come by studying about giving, it comes by giving. And as you give, as Jesus said, Acts chapter 23, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And those who are generous and those who give, they experience the blessing of that giving. Those that just know about giving and don't give, well, they don't experience a blessing from that. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. So how are you doing when it comes to putting the Word of God into practice in your life? I had mentioned yesterday on the program Hebrews 5:14. It's one of my key verses as it relates to my life, as it relates to From His Heart Ministries, as it relates to First Baptist Texarkana, as it relates to Real Truth for Today. Solid food, Hebrews chapter 5, he was talking about those that couldn't take solid food. He said, you should be able to take solid food, but you're not. You should be way further along spiritually than you are. You haven't grown in grace and knowledge. And I want to talk to you about some wonderful deep truths, some meaty truths from the Word of God. And I can't, because guess what? You don't have teeth yet. You should have teeth. You should be further along, but you haven't grown to that place. You've become dull of hearing. You're lazy in your hearing. You're not trembling at the Word of God. You're yawning at the Word of God. You're babies. You're unaccustomed to the Word of righteousness. And then he says this, but solid food, meat, is for the mature man, the one who has grown to a place of maturity, who because of practice has their senses trained to discern good and evil. You practice with the Word of God. You spend time with the Lord. You spend time in the Word. You spend time putting God's Word into practice in your life. And it says their senses trained. The word trained is from a Greek root word, gumnos, which is naked. Training in the Greek games, they always performed the Greek games naked. Men would compete naked. And so that's kind of gross when you think about it. I don't want to compete against some guy that's not wearing any clothes. But they would say, hey, for running and things like that, you don't want to have any encumbrance. So it's they had reasons that they did it that way. But from a spiritual perspective, it is so important that we come before the Lord naked. We don't come with any pretense. We don't come pretending that we're further along than we are. We just come honestly before Him. We come broken before Him. We come contrite before Him. A broken and contrite heart, David said, God, You will not despise. And we're just open and laid bare before Him. We're saying, Lord, do a work in my life. Lord, I don't want to be a forgetful hearer. I want to be an effectual doer. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you want to talk about Tim Walz, you want to talk about what happened in Venezuela over the weekend, if you want to talk about experiencing a blessing from God as you put God's Word into practice in your life, and hey, here's a tough one to put into practice, forgiving those who hurt you. That is key, because we can't hold on to bitterness. Hey, any of those subjects, or if something's on your heart, give me a call, 888-589-8840, and I'll take your call after the break. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And in this segment, we'd like to open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question about something going on in our world today, or about the Scripture, or about what we've been talking about today, living out the truth of Scripture, putting God's Word into practice in our lives, about Tim Walz dropping out of the race in Minnesota, the race for governor, and the situation in Venezuela, and Nicolas Maduro being apprehended in an incredible show of strength, and what that means and why Trump did what he did based on what we can piece together. I'd love to talk to you about that. 888-589-8840. Let me just share with you Acts chapter 4. I love this scripture. When Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin, the same group that Jesus was before, just weeks before that when they condemned him to death. It's a group that is a scary group. If you've ever had to appear before a bunch of people that don't like you, that can be very intimidating, and it was no doubt an intimidating situation. But they asked, on what basis did they heal this guy, and what are they preaching, and that kind of thing. They were greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Anyway, Peter got up and he was filled with the Spirit, and he said, if we're on trial today for the benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. I mean, it is a scathing sermon. And he doesn't back down at all. He's speaking the truth in love, but he is speaking words that really blister. And it says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Hey, do people recognize? We talk about being a doer of the word. Do people recognize that you have spent time with Jesus? Is the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place you go? That really is the Christian life, that people would see Jesus in us, that he would increase, as John the Baptist said, and we would decrease. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Rob on the line from Mississippi. Rob, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Rob, are you there? All right, we'll see if we can get Rob back on the line. But okay, we'll shift gears. And we have Chuck from Mississippi. Chuck, are you there? All right. I don't think we have Rob or Chuck. At least I'm not hearing them. Randy, is there a problem? All right, we'll work on that to see if we can get either Rob or Chuck, and we'll go from there. But yeah, they recognize them, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. They recognize them as having been with Jesus. You know, when they had Stephen in front of them, and he gave a testimony, it said they looked at Stephen, and his face was like the face of an angel. I mean, the glory of God was on that guy. And, you know, when we walk with God, people notice. When we really are walking and growing in grace and knowledge. You know, I've noticed this, and you probably have too. Some people, they can have answers to the questions in life. They can answer all sorts of trivia questions about the Bible. They'd do great on Jeopardy if the category was Bible. They know lots of things. As one preacher said, they know the Word of God, but they don't seem to know the God of the Word. There's no connection with Jesus. Everything is prideful. It's self-righteous. It's unkind. And it's like, where is the fruit of the Spirit? How do you tell if you're really walking with God, if you're really being led by the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we can sniff and smell the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him. When you're around a believer who's really walking with the Lord, it's obvious, it's evident. You just say, there's something about this person. There's a connection to the Lord that they have. You know, Moses, when he spent time with the Lord, it was shown on his face. The skin of his face would glow. and shine because he had been in the presence of God. That's a, you know, an encouragement and a challenge to all of us to spend time with the Lord and to not just amass knowledge in our heads, just biblical knowledge, but to grow in grace. I've said this before, it's really true. How does a person come to know Jesus in a real and personal way? How's a person born again? For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. So we are saved by grace through faith. How do you continue in the Christian life? That's how you start, by grace through faith. How do you continue in the Christian life? By grace through faith. As you therefore, Colossians 2:6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Well, I received him by grace through faith. I walk in him by grace through faith. It's grace and faith the whole way. Randy, can we try another one? Okay. Still working on that. I appreciate you guys calling in. Hopefully we'll get to these calls. But yeah, it's grace and faith the whole way. And here's the good news for us in the Christian life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Somebody defined grace one time. You know, you've probably heard grace is the unmerited favor of God. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. He just gives it to you. I like what one person, the way they defined it. They said, grace is the desire and the power to do the will of God. And if you're struggling to do the will of God, come boldly before his throne of grace, because that's where you find the desire and the power to do the will of God. You need grace. I need grace. We need grace. And we need to apply God's word to our lives. And hey, I had mentioned about one of the key areas where we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers, has to do with forgiving people. Hey, you've had people that have hurt you, maybe by accident, maybe on purpose. I've had people that have hurt me by accident, on purpose. Sometimes we can misunderstand or misconstrue what somebody does, and we take it as a hurt, and we get angry with that person. You know, when a person hurts you, every hurt is always going to turn to anger. It's the other side of the coin. You get hurt, somebody does something to you, and then you get angry. And my dear friend who's in heaven now, Ada Ferguson, she was our counselor before Chris Schroeder, and she would always sit down with people, and she would talk about three words: sad, mad, bad. And she said, you know, somebody hurts you, you're sad, and then you're going to get mad, and you have to deal with that, otherwise it will turn bad. And so we have to give those things to the Lord. As my dear friend June Hunt said, you got to let that person off your hook and put them on God's hook. And you say, all right, Lord, you have told me that I need to forgive. Your word is clear that I need to forgive. If you don't forgive men their transgressions, the Lord will not forgive you. Matthew chapter 6 is very, very clear. And so Ephesians 4:32, that was our family verse when my kids were growing up. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And so you got to forgive. You got to take that person off your hook and put them on God's hook. Let God deal with them. But you're not going to have a bad heart, a bad attitude, a bad spirit toward that person. And what I've found as a pastor, when you have Sanballats and Tobias, that every church is going to have those. And you're going to have detractors, and you're going to have people that don't like you. And you're going to have people that don't agree with your leadership. And so you pray for that person. Pray that God would bless them. Pray that the Lord would do a deep work in their heart and life and in their marriage and in their family and their kids. And as you pray for somebody and you're praying God's blessings upon them, It's hard to be bitter at them. And you just take them and you take them. I mean, that's a good picture to say, hey, I'm taking this person off of my hook. I need a pound of flesh type of attitude. And I'm just turning them over to the Lord, giving that to the Lord and saying, Lord, you deal with this person. Lord, you know what they did and you deal with this person. Now, the Lord has clearly said, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. And so what does the scripture say? If your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. When you're good to those who are not good to you, it makes such a difference. It lets that person know, wow, how are you doing this? And let me tell you something, that's hard to do, to be good to those who are not good to you. But that's the command from Scripture, and to love those who don't love you. And remember this, as a believer, the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, lives inside your heart. And every single person you come across, every single person in your family, that mother-in-law that may be very, very difficult, that daughter-in-law or son-in-law that may be very, very difficult, and you just, every time their name is mentioned, you just feel the hair on the back of your neck kind of standing on end. Remember, the Lord loves that person. The Lord sees everything about that person. He knows what that person, what's causing that person to be the way they are. And you just say, Lord, I don't have any love for them, but you love them. And so love them through me. I'm reminded of Corrie ten Boom, the dear lady that experienced the atrocities and the horrors of the Nazi concentration camp. And she said that, when she got out, her sister died, her father died there. And when she got out of Ravensbrück and the war was over, she was giving her testimony in a church, and a man came forward, and he was one of the guards at Ravensbrück. And she recognized him. And he was so brutal to her and to her sister. And the man came forward, and he stretched out his hand, and he said, Fräulein ten Boom, said, it was so great to hear you talking about Jesus, and I have found Jesus, and I have found forgiveness in Jesus, and I've come to see you. And he reached out his hand, and she said, I just hate this guy, and I didn't want to shake his hand. I didn't want to forgive him. And she said, Lord, how am I going to do that? She said, I could not move my arm. And it's awkward because he's coming in a kind of a receiving line. And she said, I could not move my arm. And she said, Lord, help me. And she just cried. She was honest with God. You know, those we train naked before the Lord. Lord, I'm being honest. I'm struggling here. She was honest with God. And when she prayed her prayer, said, God, help me. Help me to forgive him for what he did. Love him through me. She said there was a power that went through her. She was able to move her hand. She was able to shake his hand. She was able to say, brother, I forgive you. And she said it was such a sweet, sweet time in the Lord. But she didn't have the strength. She says that. There's a YouTube clip of her sharing this story in her own voice, and I love her voice with that German accent. She said, do you have the power to forgive? No. Do I? No. But he does, and he will do it in us and through us as we trust him. Well, thank you for calling in, all the callers. I'm sorry we had trouble with the software today, but hopefully we'll be back up and running tomorrow. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And hey, put God's word into practice in your life. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Be an effectual doer. Because the blessing comes when you do His word. So make it a great day. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.